Hello, beautiful light beam. I'm so happy that you stumbled upon this wee podcast. Soul-led, spirit-driven is your guide, your companion on your spiritual journey. Together, let's explore past lives, life lessons, karmic cycles. Let's learn how to navigate through this earthly life. And together with my astral team, Echo, I hope to make each episode as potent and as informative as I possibly can so that you can slowly unpack all that is human till you get to that beautiful center that is your soul, so you can see yourself in your true magnificence. Okay, let's begin. Hello, beautiful light beam. We are back for another episode, and this episode kicks off the series about embracing your psychic abilities. Because like I said in the last episode, I don't just want to leave you with the, well, this is how you do it, you just embrace them. I want to go in depth with each clair. So for the next few episodes, each episode will focus heavily around one of the clairs. We're going to cover all four. I should say there's six, but we're only going to talk about the four main ones, which is the clair seeing, clair hearing, clair knowing, and clair sensing. Yes, there's clair smelling and clear tasting, but in my experience, these sort of hover in the background, and spirit sometimes kind of brings through a message through these two clairs, but we don't really need to practice anything. You know, it's almost like once when you focus on the main four, the other two are like the cream and the cherry that, you know, you get with your already delicious cake. So, we're going to focus on the four. This week, we are starting with clairaudience. But this episode will have two parts. We are going to talk first about why it's important, in my opinion, to embrace your psychic abilities if you don't plan on being a professional psychic. So if you had any doubts or reservations whether these next few episodes are for you, please stick around. I have a feeling they are. They may. And why are we starting with clairaudience? Because through my own unofficially collected data, I find that clairaudience is the most common one, the psychic ability that people are aware of, but also the most elusive one. You'll hear soon why. And of course, at the end, I will give you some beautiful practices so you can start practicing strengthening those underused muscles. But first, why is it important for you to embrace psychic abilities if you don't want to be a professional psychic? Well, here's the thing. Whether you are a school teacher, an artist, a writer, a policeman, a lawyer, whoever you are, whatever your chosen career and path is in this lifetime, we are all intuitive psychic beings. We are born with these senses. You have your physical senses for the physical world. You have your soul intuitive senses to experience the world beyond this world. It is not even a special gift. It is not something that is limited to chosen people, as I mentioned in the last episode. It is your birthright. No longer do we have a few people, seemingly the chosen ones, with this ability to connect and communicate with God directly, holding all the cards, holding all the power, and removing anyone else who has the power, has the ability, and has discovered that they can communicate with God directly. No longer those of us who are connecting to loved ones, who work with tarot, who perform energy healings, no longer are we labeled that we're messing with evil spirits or working with the devil. This is an after-up system that was created by those who want to hold all the power and keep us in the dark ages. We all have these powers, and we're here to use these powers, whether in our own lives, in our own communities, or on a larger scale, or to work with others. So if you're an artist, you know, your mind might be telling you that you should compare your work to other artists, or you should work out, you should look to the trends. What is trending? What colors are trending? What shapes? What patterns? What type of art is trending? And you might listen, and it may not make you feel so great when your mind tells you to judge yourself against other artists, that perhaps you're not good enough because you haven't been doing art for a long time, or you're not professionally trained. But here is the thing. Your mind works to a limited pattern. It has a small box. Each corner of the box is basically knowledge, past experiences, memories, and any advice that you've been given that has been stored away. It is basically, those are your parameters. So of course, the information will be very limited, very outdated. When you open yourself up to the universe through these senses, there is no way of telling right now what will come through, what your art will be like, the niche that you will find through it, because you're working to your most authentic self. There's no way of telling now till you actually connect and receive the stream of energy, of inspiration coming through you. And I can tell you right now that the art that you will produce in this way is going to be not only unique and amazing, but it will be coded with energies that then will activate in others. Any person that will experience your art for however long, whether it's a moment as they walk past or stare at it for hours or own your art, they will heal, they will transform, they will clear some stuff out. Perhaps they will be elevated to higher frequencies. It will make them feel amazing every time they look at your art. Something will happen because your art was not generically created. And by that, I don't mean AI, I mean your mind. When your mind gets involved, when it comes to art, art that is produced through the mind is generic, limited. If you're a school teacher, yes, you can work to the rules and regulations and what you're told and hand out papers and then take the papers back and quiz kids and read, and if someone's falling through, oh well. But imagine when you open up your senses, your soul connects to this student's soul. And even though they're putting on a brave facade, or, you know, they appear to be cheeky and naughty, now, like a little tentacle that goes from your heart to their heart, a stream of information goes through that tentacle, bringing you this below the surface information about this student. And you can see so much more. And it fills your heart with compassion and love. And you become a different teacher, not just for yourself, but for this student, and therefore for this class, and therefore for this school. And a ripple effect just carries. So our lives become better. Our lives become richer, gentler, more peaceful. We trust in the process. Even if there's a storm raging, we can see beyond that and can see there's light at the end of the tunnel. We can see the bigger picture. We can be patient. We can hang in there. We trust ourselves because we know we're not the single person all alone in this world. And I just happened to wind up in this crazy world. No reason, no purpose to, no logic to anything, right? We are part of a bigger picture. We are part of consciousness. We're all connected. So I think it is hugely important for all of us, for humanity, for this earth, for you, for me, for our families to awaken and embrace our psychic abilities and use them in our daily lives. Your life will change. Your life will transform. There's no way of telling how it will turn out, but I can tell you the predictability that you get when you plan out your life using your analytical mind is very limited to what can actually happen when you let go, surrender, open yourself up to the universe and allow it to speak to you and work with you. Okay, so on that note, let's start with clairaudience. Like I said, through my unofficial data, I have learned that most people experience clairaudience the easiest, but most people don't know that they have clairaudience till I tell them what to look for, till I tell them how it comes through. And then usually they say, oh, wow, that, oh, well, I've had that for years, but I didn't know that's what it is. And that's because we often expect something drastic, something dramatic. We expect perhaps a ghost or a spirit to appear and speak to us in full sentences, but actually, it is very subtle, especially in the beginning. It's subtle. It's broken up to perhaps just a word, just a snippet, and it comes through very fast. So I want you to know what to look for and how to discern between your actual thoughts and clairaudience. And then I want you to practice strengthening that muscle. Because very much like as if you went to the gym, your personal trainer will show you around, show you, you know, all the equipment. This is for your abs. This is for your legs. This is for your core. This is for this. This is for that. And now we're going to work on all of them. So welcome to Kasia's Psychic Gym. And now we're going to work on your clairaudience. So what exactly is clairaudience? Clairaudience is psychic hearing. Now, outer hearing means you hear spirit with your ear, your outer ear, the way you can hear me. Perhaps it's a whisper. Perhaps you actually hear it with voice. It's rarer, but just because you don't have it now doesn't mean that you will never have it. I mean, how many times have you just been sitting there minding your own business and all of a sudden you hear someone whispering your name? Perhaps you woke up convinced that your husband or your partner is whispering your name, but they're fast asleep. To me, it happens quite often when I have headphones on. When I'm either listening to music, quiet music, or I'm watching something and then I will hear my name and I know it's not coming from the headphones. So that's outer hearing. Inner hearing is what a really clairaudient is experienced on this level. So basically, the way I want to talk about clairaudience is the inner hearing, because you will probably most likely first experience that, but please don't feel like I'm putting limitations on you. Can happen anyway, but most likely, from my experience, it happens through inner hearing first. And that is confusing because inner hearing, what does that mean? Well, it means it comes through as your thought and often in your own voice. So it sounds a little bit like when you read a book in your mind, not out loud. So how can you then tell what is clairaudience and what are your thoughts? So when I tell you what to look for, you will be able to discern the difference between your own thoughts and clairaudience. So first of all, it's heard in your mind like a thought, and it does sound usually like your voice. Although And this is my own personal disclaimer from my own experience. I have found that as different guides stepped through, whether it was Akashic Masters, you know, Echo, or whether it was my recent guys, Octavius, that came through, they all come through differently. And it does sound to me a little bit like they sound gentler, or they talk really fast, or they're very comforting, or very much sort of bossy. Now, your guides will never, ever come through and tell you what to do. So they will never impose on your free will. That's another way you can hear. So if something comes through that doesn't feel good for you, that's probably something else, not your guides. Also, when that divine energy comes through, when clairaudience comes through, it is usually always for your highest and best good. So they will never guide you to do harm to yourself, to others. They will never give you any scary messages. Anything that comes through that is scary or doesn't feel good or doesn't feel aligned or doesn't feel like right, that's something else. So, you know, I guess if you have a lot of negative thoughts and you're wondering, is this guidance? Are they telling me off? Are my guides telling me that I've been wrong or bad or I've done something wrong? That's usually ego talking. Your guides will, in the most gentlest, kindest, loving way, reassure you that you are incredible, amazing, that they're proud of you, that they love you. And even if you have done something wrong, they will tell you that you are still a beautiful, beautiful soul. They will guide you to how you can rectify something, how you can make it better. Now, also, this is the funny thing, that when guidance comes through clairaudience, it comes through as thoughts that interrupt your regular thought pattern. So here is something interesting. You might be, perhaps, I don't know, washing dishes, and you're thinking about all the things you still have to do. I've got to take the washing out and hang it on the line. I've got to go to the grocery store and get some milk. And I've got to pick kids up earlier today and then drive them down to the sports center. Grandma loves you. Here's my apple pie. And you thought, oh, that was weird. Where did that come from? I wasn't thinking about my grandmother or her apple pie. So that random, seemingly random thought that just popped in and interrupted your regular thought pattern was actually a message from your grandmother connecting to you through perhaps the one thing that she knows you recognize her by, which is the apple pie, your favorite pie. So clairaudience will pop in unexpectedly. Now, when you're just starting out, they usually, the guidance is very snap, very short, very quick. It comes through. And so often when we, as new psychics or new to this, we start to focus on, oh, what was that? Was that real? Was that me? What was that? We actually missed a message. So next time when something pops in, just notice it, just observe it. You know, if it was a piece of music, a song, or, you know, the thought about your grandmother, even if it disappeared and there was nothing else and you didn't get an actual message of like, I love you, or, you know, I'm here with you, and you just say, thank you. Thank you. I received that message, that snippet of thinking about my grandmother when I wasn't intentionally thinking about her. Or perhaps a thought pops into your head while you're washing the dishes that you should call your friend. And you weren't actually intentionally thinking about it, but all of a sudden, there's a thought, call your friend, call your friend. And you're like, okay, let me go back to my to-do list. I'll do that when I have time. And then again, it keeps coming back as in call your friend, call her now. So you call her and turns out she was thinking about you and she was about to call you. Or maybe she is going through big things and actually really needs to talk to someone. So there you go. See, wasn't part of your thought process, but it popped in seemingly out of nowhere. So clairaudience can also be experienced as music, perhaps music that feels familiar to you or a loved one that has passed on, or perhaps music that represents something, perhaps it makes you feel good. It can be words, thoughts, inspired ideas. And this is what I meant when artists, all of a sudden this idea comes to you. Do you know how many times I wake up and in that state, just before I become aware that I'm awake, I am hearing words of crochet, for example, you know, with the black yarn, a border around it, or sign up for this program, or, you know, take your kids to the movies, right? And I wasn't even thinking about it, but I wake up thinking it all of a sudden about this completely unexpected topic. So another example that I can share with you from my own experience is I was doing my precepts in the morning. So I was focusing on the precepts and what we say. And all of a sudden, my guide that I know now through practice, that it's my guide, all of a sudden, in his gentle voice, inner hearing, right? In my mind, coming through as my thought, I could hear him saying, everything will be fine. It will get a little bit rough, but you will get through this. And then smooth sailing. This came through so super fast, much faster than my own thoughts could have conceived this message. And because I'm so attuned to the way my guide speaks, and this is Octavius, and the way he delivers messages, I recognized him immediately. Again, it's the same tone, same manner. It's weird to say tone because, again, I'm not hearing his voice, but in a way, I'm hearing it with my inner hearing. And this had nothing to do with the precepts I was doing, but it had to do with something that's been on my mind and I've been thinking about it and you know, I've got to be honest, worried about. And it came through that everything will be fine. Everything will be fine. It will get worse, but it's going to be ultimately okay. You will get through this. So even for this podcast, as I was sitting, opening the Akashic Records, instead of gathering my thoughts, my guides came through and I say my guides because this was different than Octavius. This felt more like Echo coming through. Now, those of you who remember, this is a side note, when Octavius presented himself to me, like actually saying I'm Octavius, but not like the Roman, but the ape, and I'm the O in Echo. So my guide comes through separate, but also as part of this Akashic Masters, teachers, you know, collective that speaks to me like Echo. That's how I hear it. That's just a little side note because you don't have to break it down and analyze and who's who, but that's something that will come. You'll start to notice actually that there are subtle differences in how the guides speak to you. And that will again reaffirm you in knowing that the difference between your own thoughts and clairaudience. So my point of this last bit was that I was preparing for this podcast and I was gathering my thoughts and they came through. And first I heard the word smoothie. Then I felt like, yeah, I could do with a smoothie. Then they poured over me this feeling of peacefulness and ease and abundance, which I probably have missed these last few days because it's been a bit crazy and hectic, busy, just busy. So I start recording and maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes into this Ryan, my husband, comes out into the car with a smoothie. So there is that. So a few little examples just so you can start to discern between your own thoughts and guidance through clairaudience. So before I give you some practices that will help you to strengthen your clairaudient abilities, let me just tell you how you can know that you are clairaudient. And again, remember, you have all the senses, but just like with human senses, some of us have really great hearing and can, you know, break down music patterns into notes or compose amazing, music. And some of us can't sing to save their life, can't hear a tune, right? But we all appreciate music. And if we put the work and effort into it, we could be, probably better at hearing and breaking down musical patterns. So with clairaudience, some of us have it really strong already. For some, we need to flex that muscle a little bit, strengthen it. Here's how you know if you are clairaudient. So if clairaudience is your first main gift at this moment, you would probably love to listen to music. Music is your life. Music uplifts you. You love listening to music. It doesn't perhaps even matter what type of music, but you feel so connected to your soul when you listen to music. Your day is better when you listen to music. And you have to listen to it every day. You love it. You are an auditory learner. If you learn best through listening, right? If you love listening to books, that's a great sign that your clairaudience is strong and active already. If you have noise sensitivity. So I have noise sensitivity. I mean, I have kids, right? When we have our own kids, we get very used to their noise. And I still, especially, screams or shrieks, it's like nails on a blackboard. I can't. Rubbing balloons or even a balloon exploding. When I used to go out, I could never dance near the speakers, and it's not because it's loud, but like as soon as I saw, okay, we're dancing anywhere near it, I need to move. I can't appreciate it. So I don't like loud noise. I'm sensitive to it. If you are as well, guess what? Clairaudience is super active for you. You might hear the occasional ringing in your ears. It could be a high-pitched one. It could be like something is pushing through or someone's piercing it with a needle. Not painful as such, but it feels like it. It sounds like it. It could be like you're going underwater. If there are no medical conditions, clairaudience is strong for you. And fun fact for me, can you believe I can't actually put my head underwater? Not even go diving, but even just a little bit underwater where my head is submerged, my ears are underwater, and I start to hear this high-pitched noise where I feel like my drums are going to explode. So I've been told that's also a clear sign that your clairaudience is strong. In fact, sometimes you might have problems with your outer hearing. So actually, not be able to hear very well, but clairaudience is strong for you. When you tend to talk to yourself, hello, that's so me. I wonder how many of you are talking to yourselves, but that is also a sign of clairaudience because believe it or not, you think you're talking to yourself, but you're actually talking to your guides, your higher self. So you don't have to have all these traits, or majority of them, but if you recognized a lot of them, if they ring true to you, then clairaudience is definitely strong for you. So now let's talk about some practices that will help you to strengthen that muscle. And these are practices that I have guided my students through. So first of all, big shocker, but you have to be a good listener. good listener. If you're a good listener, that means you have a strong, clear audience, okay? So perhaps even if you don't know whether you are a good listener or you don't think or you want to strengthen your clear audience through that, start to be more aware in conversations of whether you are listening to the person. I don't mean like just nodding and like, yeah, I'm present here, but I actually have no idea what you're talking about. Actively listening, asking questions. And don't be that person that while someone's talking about something, you're already conceiving your own story that, you know, you want to share ASAP because it will make you sound relatable, right? That happened to me. Oh my God, guess what? Same thing happened to me 5 years ago, blah, 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 right? That's not active listening. So practicing active listening and asking questions and genuinely want to know more through questions is going to make your clear audience stronger because you have to actively listen to your guides. You can't interrupt with your mind going like, is this real? Is this not? Where is it coming from, right? So to silence your mind, become an active listener. Number two, listen to classical music. The more you listen to classical music, which is attuned actually to strengthen your clear audience. I don't know if the composers knew this, that the way they selected their instruments to play in a sonata or orchestra has actually healing properties or strengthening properties for our clear audience. But this is what I mean. These great composers that were inspired, some at a very young age, it did something for us. Their music has now the power to strengthen your clear audience. See, they've passed on the baton to us through that. But probably if they sat down and tried to write this from an analytical mind, maybe it would sound nice, but that would be it. So listen to classical music, just even in the background. But also, you can do it as an active practice. Try to focus on one particular instrument and see if you can follow it for a while. And then perhaps switch to a different instrument and follow that. Again, distinguishing the different instruments helps to strengthen your clear audience. It will possibly even help you to strengthen clear audience to a point where you can distinguish between your guides. Okay, the next one I have for you is sitting outside with pen and paper and then close your eyes and I want you to listen to the obvious sounds. So you might hear children laughing, you might hear cars driving, perhaps even dogs barking or people talking. And now focus on what's behind that noise. So all of a sudden you might hear birds, perhaps. You might hear the wind. You might hear leaves rustling. And then try to go beyond that. What else can you hear? Might be really very subtle sounds. Maybe you won't even have the words for it. But just being able to take yourself to that place, the sound behind the sound, behind the sound, and really distinguishing each sound is really a powerful and fast way to strengthen your clear audience. Another way is if you feel like, okay, I don't want to do it in public, I don't want to do it outside, find a YouTube video that has city sounds or you can find nature sounds. Not like meditation music, but actual like live sounds that someone has recorded. And close your eyes and again, do the same. Try to distinguish them. Try to go beyond the obvious sounds. So see how some of these exercises already are either very active, where you have to like, you know, set time aside perhaps for them and get pen and paper ready. And some you can just have in the background while you're doing other things. Isn't that great? Okay, here is a very strange way to strengthen your clear audience. You picture different instruments and what they sound like. So for example, close your eyes. Not if you're driving, but if you're not, close your eyes. And now think of a trumpet. Blow that trumpet. Did you hear the trumpet making sound when I just mentioned the trumpet? Or did you hear it once when I told you to blow it? It doesn't matter. I just wonder whether your clairaudience kicks in straight away or takes a little bit. Now, imagine a piano. Now, play the piano. Can you hear it with your inner hearing? What about a violin? How would you hold the violin? Can you hear it playing before I even said play it? You can have a whole scenario of, I like to usually go to Christmas and visualize a room filled with the Christmas tree, and there's a fireplace, and then the carols come in, or family comes in, and they sing songs, and then someone plays the trumpet, and then I try to really focus on each sound. This is another powerful way to strengthen your clairaudience. So with these practices, it really is always interesting to me that A, they spill over into our private, personal lives and make us better people, better listeners. But also they're fun and very engaging and you can do them anytime. So perhaps pick one and do it for a few days and then focus on another one and do that one for a few days. I recommend as you go through the next few episodes, and really, if you really want to like do this as a little course, get yourself a notebook and start writing down your experiences with each of the practices, what you experienced, how long you did it for, did you like one, did you not like one, has anything changed? And again, the signs that I mentioned to you that make you clairaudient, pay attention to whether perhaps one that you haven't recognized within yourself all of a sudden happens. Maybe you've never experienced ringing in the ears, and all of a sudden, there you go. After these exercises, you have it. So play around with this, have fun, and I look forward to next week where we talk about clairvoyance. Bye for now. Beautiful light beam, I hope that you enjoyed this week's episode. Now, before you turn off your podcasting device, I just wanted to quickly hop in here and ask you for a little favor. If you really enjoyed this episode, if you enjoy these episodes, this podcast, please consider sharing it with someone who you think might benefit from it also. I would be so, so grateful. It would help me immensely in getting the word out, reaching more people who are perhaps trying to navigate through their own awakening. And if you haven't yet, please consider leaving a review and sharing your thoughts, sharing how this podcast helps you or what you have learned or anything that you think would be helpful to a new listener. Thank you so much. I really, really am so grateful for you.